It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Film Festival Radio is superstars.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Film Festival Radio Show on this Saturday, March 26th. Yeah, where did the month go? I had a birthday earlier this week on the 22nd, and that went nicely. And thank you, everyone, for all the happy birthday greetings. You can still wish me a happy birthday. info@filmfestivalradio.com. You can even send me a birthday gift. I don't care if it's like a week late or a month late. It's good. I'm good with that. I love late sometimes. So anyway, we are at the Academy Award weekend. This is the Oscar weekend. This weekend is tomorrow night. Everybody, or mostly everyone, will be tuning in for the 94th Annual Academy Awards Gala event on ABC. Now, according to the Wrap publication, they are at this writing the Oscars, the producers of the Oscars, they were working on a feature, a segment, I should say, a good acknowledgement of the war in the Ukraine and doing something in a very thoughtful way that will acknowledge the tragedy of this crisis, as well as try to still keep the mood and a celebratory nature for the award show. So I think I got this on Thursday that the producers of the Oscars were still working on that. I don't know if it's been confirmed yet, but we'll be tuning in so we can find out and see. And to further speak of the Oscars, that brings us to our first guest, who will be talking more about the Academy Awards. And that is the one and only Lash Ferry. Lash Ferry is just one of my favorite annual guests. And so he will be joining us shortly after this break to talk about the Oscars for 2022. Yeah. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking with the one and only Lash Ferry. Okay, we are back with our first guest here. And as I said, it's Oscar weekend. And that brings me to our very first guest, who is now an annual favorite guest when it comes to Academy Awards season. I'm speaking to the only word I can think of is fabulous. When it comes to the one and only Lash Ferry, he is just fabulous. And that's because for over 20 years now, the fabulous one, Lash Ferry, is now known as the ultimate Hollywood gift guru. Yeah, that's a big title because, you know, Hollywood gets the best of. And so I can just tell you that he is the founder of the marketing company, Distinctive Assets, which is a Los Angeles-based entertainment marketing company that's credited with transforming celebrity gifting and gift bags. It's now a superstar event, thanks to Lash and his very talented team of staffers there. The company has their annual Everyone Wins nominee gift bags, and they have become the most buzzed about gifts in Hollywood every year. I'm not kidding you. I know, because I've been able to thankfully receive just some of the goodies, and they are fabulous. These bags got swag. That's all I can tell you. Well, we'll talk about that later. But anyway, these ultra gift bags are presented to the Academy Award nominees in the top categories, ranging from best film, best actor, supporting actor, best actress, supporting actress, and so on and so forth. So these are not just bags. These are actual gifts and their trips and their, you know, whatever the actor or actress or film director, if they have a certain foundation or it's very assorted and it's very, very well done. I just love it. I just love it. Well, let's be quiet. Let me be quiet. Let's bring on the man who created it all, the founder of the Everybody Wins nominee gift bags, the one and only Lash Fairy. Let's bring him up right now on his line. Well, this has to be such a treat for me to speak to the one and only Lash Fairy. How are you?
I'm better after that intro. That sounds amazing.
Well, it's also very true. And it's just always so much fun to talk to you each year. And so here we are once again, that time of year, the Everyone Wins nominee gift bags. And I hope that I know, I don't even have to ask this. I know your Academy Award nominees are as excited as I am to receive their ultimate goodie gift bag. So just give me just a little bit of a highlight of what's in some of the nominees' gift bags for this year.
Absolutely. One of the things I'm excited about, because I'm also very excited about the new Downton Abbey movie coming out, is Highland Title. They're giving each nominee a small plot of land, which makes them part of a community of landowners known as the Lords and Ladies of Glencoe. So they may or may not become, you know, Oscar royalty, but to win or lose, they're all going to become lords and ladies. I always say popcorn is the most iconic companion to movie watching, and Opal Pop has created the world's first flavor-wrapped popcorn kernels, which means that each kernel is individually pre-wrapped in flavor. You simply choose your favorite flavor, pour it into the provided microwave popper, and pop yourself a delicious treat. Speaking of treats, we have Balsam Biscuits back this year doing another deluxe assortment of their delicious, sustainably sourced chocolate-covered biscuits and wafers. Spermidine Life by Longevity Labs is providing a package of supplements that naturally increase production of a youth molecule in our bodies known as spermidine. Goodness knows, I'm 50 now. I need all the youth molecules I can get. This helps with immunity, memory, anti-aging, and even weight loss. And then last but not least, no gift bag I do would be complete without world-class skincare. They're getting over $1,000 worth of Empira Cosmeticos nano-amplified plant-based CBD skincare, which is just a fancy way of saying the product penetrates deeper into your skin for better results.
Oh my goodness. So this year, the nominees are going to, of course, eat well and look well with their skin when they go out. So thanks to you. As always, yes, you take such good care of your clients there. Well, I understand that Steven Spielberg is going to get an even special gift bag. Can you give us a little idea of what his goodie bag will contain?
He's going to get all of those things. He's also going to get a $50,000 vacation to Turin Castle in the heart of Scotland.
Oh,
my
God.
So he wants to visit that plot of land that made him Lord Steven Spielberg. He can actually go and stay with Kate in a 10-bedroom castle all to themselves. They'll get greeted with a bagpiper ceremony. They're going to have all their meals included. They're going to have a butler, the whole nine yards. So it's certainly a trip befitting a legend like Steven Spielberg.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you and your staff, I mean, this is, 20 years now that your company, Distinctive Assets, has been doing these gift bags? Is it 20 or 21 years or 19?
It's 20 years for this particular promotion, but we've been in business for 23. We're heading to Vegas next week to do our 23rd official Grammy gifting situation, which is pretty incredible.
Oh, my goodness. I would so love to I can't wait. I would love to see the behind the scenes of how you guys do all of that. That would be fantastic.
Okay. We're going to be over at Top Golf Las Vegas, right on the MGM property on 3 rehearsal days next week.
We got a date. I've got to see some behind the scenes of how it's done and interview you maybe in person and just have fun with that. Okay, I'm going to write this down. Well, okay, with that in mind, who else? Yeah, we know Steven Spielberg, but and it's the top 25 major nominees. Who are some of the other people, celebrities, who are going to get your wonderful gift bags this year?
all of the actors and actresses in the best actor and supporting actor categories are going to get it. So Andrew Garfield, Jessica Chastain, they're two of my fave performances of the year, and then the best director category. So, 25 folks. And then we always also give the host of the show a gift bag because it is such a hard gig, probably the hardest in Hollywood. And this year there's obviously three hosts. So Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes, and Regina Hall are all going to receive an amazing gift bag too.
Oh my goodness. Well, you're dealing with such high-profile celebrities. They obviously have the money to get anything that they want. How do you and your staff, how do you decide and plan out what to put in these amazing gift bags for these people?
A lot of it are things that I use and love in my real life that I genuinely want to share with everyone, whether you're a celebrity or not. I make these recommendations. So I recently discovered a product line called Biro. This is salad-infused skincare, and they've got a bitter green essence toner, which I cannot say enough great things about. So it's about sharing things. Sometimes we get pitched things, and when they arrive, I'm like, oh my gosh, this has to be shared. So there's a product in the gift bag this year that's called Ariti Olive Oil, and it's $360 for this bottle of olive oil. It comes from the oldest olive grove in the world, over 500 years old. The packaging is inspired by Homer's Odyssey, and it's infused with edible gold flakes. So when you shake the bottle up, there's gold inside. So it's pretty incredible.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. This is just, whenever it's time to receive my gift box, it's not a bag, folks, it's a box, almost as tall as a person. And I just get so excited. It's like Santa is coming to me in March. It's just so incredible. So finally, what are your plans, you and your staff, for the Oscars? Are you attending any parties? Are you just going to relax in your beautiful, fabulous homes? Or what's going to happen?
We do start deliveries this week, so we'll deliver about half the nominee bag this week. We'll finish that next week. Sunday, I'll just order a pizza and watch the Oscars with my feet propped up because it has been a long week. And then starting on Tuesday, we pack up a truck and head out to Las Vegas for the Grammys. So not a lot of vacation time this year with the two shows being back-to-back.
Oh, back-to-back, that's right. Any predictions as far as best picture, best actor, best actress?
I think Will Smith is a lock. I'm really got my fingers crossed that Jessica Chastain will pull off the upset because I loved her performance in The Eyes of Tammy Faye. I really hope Coda wins Best Picture. I think it's a long shot, but it was by far my favorite film of the year, and I really, really hope that it wins for Best Picture.
Well, those are some very good predictions. This is my last question here, but did Will's gift bag, does it contain anything special to you just for him or what?
You know, because we are pretty much done putting these gift bags together by the time they announce the nominees, there's not a personalization component on that degree because they announced the nominees, a month ago?
Yes.
So, you know, hopefully there'll be some things in there that he loves. In fact, one particular item is from Serena Williams and her husband Alexis Ohanian. It's called Quay Quay. It's a doll that's based on the favorite family doll of Serena and Alexis's family and their adorable daughter Olympia. So because he's got the Williams family to thank for the Oscar he's going to win, I think that he needs to put Quay Quay on the shelf next to the Oscar.
Oh, that is so sweet. So thoughtful as well. Well, lastly here, how can people check you out, follow you on social media, you and your company, Distinctive Assets? What do they need to do?
Easy thing is just to go to our Instagram, which is Swag Assets, and everything is right there.
And it is so swagalicious. It is so just that. Well, as always, Mr. Lash Ferry, I just love chatting with you every year. This is, I think, my third or fourth year talk. So thank you, as always, for the chat and the gift box. And I look forward to chatting with you this time next year.
Sounds good. Have a good one, Janet.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, before we get to our next guest, I want to run this really fast audition by you. Yeah, it's just one. No, we don't have time for two, three today, but Listen, if you are a fan of Steve Harvey's new show, Judge Steve Harvey, yeah, that show, it is has been renewed for a second season. So apparently a lot of us out here are fans of the show, got good ratings. They've renewed it for a second season. And they are looking for people to appear on the show, looking for litigants. So these are the kinds of things that their situations are looking for. Did somebody ruin your big day? Was it a wedding? Was it a graduation, a baby shower, a funeral, a gender reveal? Photographer messed up or caterer messed up, any of that. Maybe a family member messed something up for graduation, or maybe there's a baby shower and the baby shower event planner messed up really badly. Gender reveal, they got the wrong color, bad photography, just all of that kind of stuff. If you have any type of dispute, kind of sort of like that, or maybe something else, a neighbor or something, killed your favorite plants or something in your yard. If you want to bring that person to court, Judge Steve Harvey's show is the place to be because the producers are looking for people, litigants for season two. This is what you need to do. You need to email Sandra Allen, A-L-L-E-N. Her email address is Sandra, S-A-N-D-R-A, at mysticartpictures.net. And that's Mystic, M-Y-S-T-I-C, Art, A-R-T, Pictures, with an S, .net. Or you can call, got a phone number this time, you can call area code 323-487-1437. And again, that number is 323-487-1437. The person's contact name again is Sandra Allen. Give her a shout out or an email. Let her know what's going on with your particular situation, and they will tell you what you need to do next. Okay, can't be any more simpler than that. And guess what? You might get to meet Steve Harvey. I'm sure that you will if you are selected. Just have a lot of fun. So anyway, we'll be back with our next guest. Hold on, we'll be back in about 20 seconds. Okay, everybody, we have our next guest on board here. He's a very talented writer, director. His name is Ryan David, and he has a brand new film, Future Days, that will be making its world premiere at the Cinequest Film Festival that starts April 1 through the 17th. And by the way, Cinequest is a virtual film festival, and they will have a lot of powerhouse actors and directors such as Ryan and others there. I highly suggest that you go check out their website there and just find out how you can sign up, get your tickets, and just get on board. So now, Ryan, that we have our business taken care of there, again, your film is Future Days. And so just tell us about, I can only imagine how much excitement you and your staff and crew and actors must have about this big premiere. So tell us all about where your excitement level is.
Yeah, I mean, we're super thrilled. Obviously, making this movie during the pandemic, and a lot of themes of the movie kind of replicate kind of the schizophrenia of everybody's identity during this pandemic. So it's cool that the movie refers so much to what we've all been going through. But yeah, I mean, we're super thrilled, especially because the movie's about kind of technology in the future, and the fact that Cinequest is in Silicon Valley and based in like the AR and VR world. Augmented reality, virtual reality. So it feels like a perfect fit to premiere the movie. So like we're actually really thrilled. And I was just talking to my lead actress today, Tanya Raimondi, and she's super thrilled because she thinks one of her best performances. And so she's excited for the film to get out there.
Oh yeah, I can only imagine. So yeah, you were saying the timing is perfect as far as the genre of film in light of all of the pandemic and all of the fallout from that. So were you filming the film during the last 2 years, or was it already in the can?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was pretty surreal. I mean, the movie is kind of a surrealist pop art, I would say. It's very kind of, again, it's kind of a surreal psychedelic piece. But it was crazy because like we started shooting middle to end of January of 20, 2020. And so COVID, like everything shut down March 15th, and we rewrapped the production like 3 days before like everything was shut down. So like we were shooting during like when the first like waves of COVID was hitting. So all the post-production was done in COVID, but we literally just got it right in there before COVID happened. So we didn't deal with the production situations other people dealt with, but it was definitely like influencing the movie while we were shooting it. So it was kind of surreal to have that happen, because it definitely had an effect on the performances and what was going on in the world.
So just obviously just a lot of it's kind of like a landmine or something. You just have to duck and dodge and test and all of that.
Yeah, for sure. What was interesting, there's like one scene, I mean, it's like maybe like 30 seconds from the movie, but there's a scene in the convenience store, and there's a clip they're saying, talking about the pandemic like happening. And we saved the audio from it, because we were filming the audio, and it was the actual like pandemic from the COVID. So wow. It was like we were filming and like the actual like, you know, the TV screen in the convenience store was talking about it. So it's pretty funny.
So now you are also, in addition to being the director, you're also the writer of this script. So tell us what inspired this storyline for you.
Yeah, the storyline, it kind of like came together. I was working on another film. This is my second feature. So I was working on another film, kind of a satire about the film industry and kind of like trying to make independent films. And so I couldn't get it off the ground. Just the timing wasn't right. And I've been fortunate enough to work with Danny Harrison. He's George Harrison's son of the Beatles. And Danny does my music for me in my first film and this one as well. And I just had seen him, and we were talking, and just, you know, sometimes in life, some project closes, one door closes, another one takes off, and we were just talking about life, and I don't know, I just went, struck by lightning type of thing, where I kind of wrote the script in two weeks, and after that, I kind of worked on it for about 2 years while getting cast and everything put together, but it was just, I don't know, I was walking on Mulholland Drive, and I had this kind of, like, split situation when I was on this hike. Is like, what if there's a version of me on the Hollywood version, what if there's a version of me on the Studio City version? And so on the hike, I kind of thought about like, what if there's two versions of yourself that kind of like talk to each other? And I love a lot of classical cinema, and there's a very famous movie called The Double Life of Veronique, and that really inspired me, and another movie called Primer inspired me. So I kind of like took those things as kind of launching ground and kind of ran with it, and kind of wrote this film really quickly. I did a lot of drafts and rewrites on it over the next 2 years, but it kind of just was like a fever dream. I just kind of like wrote down what was coming to me.
Well, to have it all pretty much wrapped up within 2 weeks, you were very much inspired, obviously, there.
Yeah. Well, it was like, it's not so easy. It's never happened before, and it'll probably never happen again. But it was pretty cool.
Just meant to happen. Now, the storyline, and I'm going to pass the baton over to you. So it's about this character, this guy, this Sean Graves character who goes to the future Sean. And luckily in the future, we see there's love there, love story there. And then he goes back. So we don't want to give away too much. I'm doing a bad job on paraphrasing the storyline. So you take it from there.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
And give us the official storyline.
Yeah, well, I mean, essentially, like most time travel movies, like they're always about like sending, it's called the grandfather paradox. So it's about sending yourself back to the past to change something. But I study a lot about quantum physics, and if there is time travel available, you can only send yourself into the future. So like Back to the Future, The Terminator, all of those things are like all the great cinema. Like it's not actually any way you could possibly time travel. Whereas like if Einstein's all of his crazy theories are correct, the only way you can send yourself into the future is basically sending yourself into the future. So I guess Christopher Nolan got it right with Inception. It's about a thing about gravity. But, to me, it was less about the time travel aspect. And it was more of, like, I really like this idea of, like, a movie about It's a Wonderful Life. I love that movie, the Frank Capra movie. Mm-hmm. And so it's about, you know, it's kind of like this, like, Charles Dickens, various ways your life can unfold. And I use time travel as a device. But it's more about this kind of, like, you know, learning to accept and love your life for where you are in your life instead of projecting yourself into your future. I think a lot of times in life, you know, the reason why we plan and have adventures or have an imagination is we're trying to like think about the different ways that our lives can turn out, but we kind of miss the present and we miss where we are. And so the story is kind of this, as I said, this Charles Dickens Frank Capra, It's a Wonderful Life, kind of message of kind of relinquishing grand ambitions and plans and just enjoying who you are and where you are with the people that you're with, and kind of not worrying so much about fame, success, power, money, all those things. So, you know, it's a good lesson in today's world.
So away from the movie, away from the script, away from Hollywood, when all the lights are turned down and nobody's watching, do you, Ryan, David, do you believe in time travel?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I do. I mean, it's possible, you know, it's possible. So Kurt Gödel was one of Einstein's best friends. He said, if your theory of relativity is right, then, like, you can only send yourself into your future. So, like, you know, I don't know if we'll ever be technologically advanced to be able to do it. But, you know, as I said, it's like if you send two twins into outer space and one twin was a little bit further than Earth than another twin, and if they both came back at the same time, one twin would be a little bit older, one twin would be less old. And so it's like time travel in terms of, like, the time travel that we know in movies, not so much, but, you know, time travel kind of works about the gravity, about the relationships, the gravity of how we take ourselves seriously. So it's a complicated answer, but yeah, I do. I mean, I think in terms of, like, where you are in your life, I mean, funnily enough, we're all kind of time traveling, right? If you listen to a song that reminds you of when you were a kid, you're time traveling. Or if you, like, see a picture of your kid when they were, like, two and then they're three or four, you time travel. So, like, we're all in our imagination time travel all the time. So are we literally time traveling? No, but I think, you know, in our own lives, we experience it, you know, through emotions and smells and tastes and kind of things we see. So I guess the answer is yes.
So if somebody would pick you up and just say, okay, we're going to go back in time, what era? Is there a particular era you'd want to go back to?
For sure. I mean, I always say all the time, I would like to go to Vienna, like the 1900s, early 1900s, because, like, Freud, Einstein, Carl Jung, there was just, like, it was the birth of the modern era, right? 20th century. Mm-hmm. And there was such a big change from previous, you know, 12,000 years up until then. And you have all these, like, very famous physicists and psychologists being born. So I'd probably say Vienna, like the 1900s, pre-World War I.
I've always been fascinated by Nikola Tesla. I would love to have been able to
meet him. I have a Nikola Tesla tattoo.
So, oh, you're kidding. No, wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was just a fascinating person. But, yeah, you know, maybe in our dreams that might happen for both of us. We can meet.
Yeah, well, that's why I made this movie, our dreams, you know. Movies are dreams. And so it's another great way to experience different realities and to be alive while you're, you know, dreaming. So
movie making, filmmaking, is this, how did you get into filmmaking? Was this a career that you always wanted to do, or did you just kind of fall into it?
Yeah, I always wanted to. You know, I was like 9, 10 years old. I was always making movies. I mean, I was born in 86, so, you know, I was the blockbuster era. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people say, like, oh, you know, cinema's dead or this or that in terms of, like, everything. But, like, I grew up watching movies on tape and, like, at home. So, like, most of my cinematic experiences of films were all through videotape, you know, especially with, like, these old fashioned movies. I always just was really obsessed with them, and I moved around a lot as a kid, so I'm the youngest child in my family, so by that age my parents were just like, oh, like, just stay at home with some videotapes and some pizza. So they would, like, go out, and I would just sit at home and, like, watch, like, three movies a night by myself. So it was kind of, because I moved so much, it was kind of a way for me to kind of just, you know, it was like kind of like a babysitter in a way. So, yeah, like, films in a way, like, saved my life. So, to me, I'm just kind of giving back the lineage of it. But I always wanted to do it. I went to NYU, not for film. I went to Gallatin for psychology and neuroscience, but knowing that I wanted to be a filmmaker. So I was always taking several classes in film. And, I came out to L.A. about 12 years ago, 15 years ago, and was always working my way towards it, working for various companies. I used to work for various production companies, and then about 27, 28, I said, okay, I gotta try to make my move now. So I made my first feature film when I was 28, came out when I was 30. That has a score by Danny Harrison as well. One of my favorite directors of all time is this guy named Nick Roeg, famous 70s director, influenced a lot of people like Nolan and Danny Boyle, and his son was in my first movie, actually. So I had him and Danny Harrison, so I had the children of very famous British celebrities. And then from that movie, we went to this one. So it took a couple of years to get that off the ground. But this is kind of a sequel, if you will, to, like, themes in that movie. So
Yeah, it's been exciting. It's been tough, and I love it. But I'm excited for this one because I feel like, yeah, you never learn how to make a movie until you make one. So the fact that I get to learn every time I make one and I get better, hopefully, it's exciting. So I hope my skill set and it's exciting for the audience. The first one I was a little, you know, still trying to get my sea legs under me.
Well, as I said earlier, your film Future Days will be making its world premiere at the Cinequest.org, Cinequest, C-I-N-E-Q-U-E-S-T, Cinequest.org, and it's virtual, and you guys, everybody listening out there, they can tune in. It starts April 1 through the 17th. So, okay, Ryan, after the big premiere at Cinequest, what's the next route for the film? Are you going to continue the film festival circuit? Are you going streaming or what?
Yeah, so we're doing the film festival circuit for sure. I think the movie plays a little bit more for a European audience. It's like nothing against the interesting people in Europe. It's a little bit more of an abstract thing. So I hope people in the indie film will love it. But I just know it might be a little bit tougher to sell in America. But we've already gone to the Valencia Film Festival in Spain, and also getting to the Trieste Film Festival, Science Fiction Film Festival in Italy and Rome. So we got those two. So we have a couple European festivals, and hopefully there'll be some more U.S. festivals. There's also the Montreal Film Festival. So we got a couple we're waiting to hear back from, but this is the kickoff of kind of like our season. So if you don't catch it here, you can catch it other places over the course of next year.
And I understand you guys, the film has its own website. So give us that website information.
Yeah, it's just futuredays.com. Okay. And then we have an Instagram as well. It's at future.days. Okay. And so, yeah, we both have the website we launched and the Instagram. And I think all the information is there. So we'd love for everybody to kind of come check it out.
Okay. And lastly, you did mention that this film is kind of a sequel to a previous one. What will there be a sequel to Future Days, or you got a whole different project?
I think they're not like necessarily sequels. I think they're spiritually all connected. So mm-hmm. There's definitely a trilogy. I have a movie I'm planning. It's called Embryo. I'd love to get that off the ground. I think it's it's kind of a spiritual trilogy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all basically about couples and love. So I'm very much influenced by Antonioni. He was in his trilogy. I think it was La Ventura, La Not. I forget his last film that was in the trilogy. But yeah, super. It's very much about couples and love and romance. And I really love the romance genre. I think it kind of taking a back seat in our modern world. And it's a shame because I think a lot of people obviously already experiences romance. So we should probably have some more romance films, especially in this world of divorces and marriages and all the things that happened with COVID. You know, I think a lot of people got married, a lot of people got divorced.
Yes.
so there's, you know, romances and love and relationships are tough. And I think, you know, sometimes seeing art about that helps you kind of get a handle on your life and what's going on with you. So I think, it's a genre that I really like. And even though it might be old-fashioned, I kind of see myself as an old-fashioned guy. So that's why I made it.
Well, there were definitely some pretty intense love scenes there with future Sean and past Sean there with his love interest, young lady. They were. I bet that was kind of fun. Kind of fun, probably to shoot. I'm sure.
Well,
finally, here, since we are, this is Academy Award Oscar weekend. Do you have any picks? Your personal picks for best film? And
my biggest pick didn't even get nominated. I thought Bradley Cooper was his best performance in Nightmare Alley. Nightmare Alley is Guillermo del Toro. I love him as well. It's probably his best movie, and he kind of got snubbed. I thought it was probably Cooper's best performance. I love foreign films, so I really love Drive My Car, the Japanese film, and I really love The Worst Person in the World. I think he's from Oslo. If you're talking about romance and kind of like a coming of age story about a young adult, then I think Worst Person in the World, kind of hoping that wins the Best Foreign Oscar. He's just a great film director, and I think that I'm really excited about that thing. And female performances this year, it's kind of tough, but I kind of hope for Jessica Chastain for Tammy Faye, just because I love her so much. So hope she wins for that.
She did fantastic job with that role in the makeup department, too.
And she produced it, too, so that's her baby. So I hope she wins because, it's her thing all the way through. So produced it, she shepherded that project, and it's hard to shepherd projects. So I hope she gets it for everything.
And what about for the guys, best actor? You got any picks for him?
No, as I said, mine didn't get nominated. Mine's Bradley Cooper. I still think that Bradley Cooper's performance in Nightmare Alley was his best performance. It's my favorite performance of the year. I was so blown away. So the fact that he got snubbed kind of bothered me a little bit. So that's, my pick is not even on the roster.
Well, we're going to find out. I take it our big Oscar Academy Award weekend party scenes for you, or are you just going to kind of take it easy?
No, I flew to New York. I'm moving to Lisbon, Portugal. So I flew to New York to see some friends, and then next week I'm going to, I moved to Lisbon. So I'll spend half the year in LA and half the year in Portugal, but I'm kind of in a kind of change right now. So no parties for me this year, but I hear the Jay-Z party at Chateau is going to be pretty good. So I wish I was there.
Wow, Ryan, I need to trade lives with you. Goodness. That is so exciting. It sounds like you're going to have even more exciting life there. Well, again, the movie is Future Days. Futuredays.com is the website. And again, makes a big splash, big premiere at the Cinequest Film Festival, cinequest.org, April 1 through 17th. Thank you so much, Ryan, for chatting and giving us some backstory about your film. Your really cool film. I really enjoyed watching it.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Okay. And best of luck to you in Lisbon and New York.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, okay. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thank you then. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Before we sign off here, I want to share with you this. Yeah, this just came in. I've got a new audition notice that I really want to share with you. How many of you out there are fans of the NBC hit show with Bear Grylls? You know Bear, the bear. He's amazing. Survivalist, living on the wilderness, living off the land. Bear can do it. So if you are a fan of Bear Grylls and you want to live it like the bear, the show is currently looking for families all over the nation. They're looking for families who are up for the challenge. And also the possibility, if you're selected, you can have an outdoor experience of a lifetime right there with the bear himself. So again, this show is casting for families all over the nation who are ready to take that challenge and possibly have a chance to win a life-changing prize. Yeah, you've seen the show. You know what I mean. So if you are interested in submitting your family for this really cool and popular reality show TV competition, it's a challenge, believe me, if you've seen it. This is what you need to do. We have an email. No, we don't. We have a website. So if you would like to try out, have your family try out, this is the website to go to. BMP, that's B as in baby, M as in Mary, P as in paper. BMPcasting.com/survival. That's it. Go to that website. All of the details are right there. Again, BMPcasting.com/survival. Now, again, this is a hit show, and the producers, they know more than what they're doing. They know it all because these are people who are the producers of MasterChef, Extreme Makeover, Home Edition, The Courtship. These are just some of their already hit shows. So, yeah, I think you should do it if you and your whole family are up for it and you've got what it takes to hang out with the bear out in the wilderness and survival. Oh, it'll be a lot of fun. So, okay. Email us if you missed what I just said. I can send you the details. info@filmfestivalradio.com. And by the way, to try out for this show, you must be at least 18 years old and also be a legal resident of America. So again, the casting website, it has all of the information that you need to do. Okay, let's get it on with our next guest.
Hey, I'm Sherry Shepherd, and you're listening to Film Festival Radio with Janice Malone.
Okay, thank you, Lash Fairy. Let me tell you, I am on his media list of his company, Distinctive Assets, and us media people who are so fortunate to be on his list, we don't get all of the items that, of course, the big stars get, but we do get some of the items. Whew, you're talking about quality content and just an assortment of skincare products and gourmet foods and t-shirt, just a lot of really, when I say t-shirts, not just a t-shirt, no, these are just unbelievable stuff. In fact, it is so much that he shares with us, this media people. The boxes usually are almost as tall. I mean, we're talking from the floor up to your waist or bigger. A FedEx usually just, and he FedExes the boxes to you. And so FedEx usually has to have two people to haul it in. The box is so huge. And he is such a generous and kind person in his company. This way, you know what? I think if Lash Fairy decided that he wanted to run for mayor of Hollywood or Beverly Hills, I think he would win by a landslide because that's how much Hollywood loves him. And I don't blame them. I don't even live there. I'd vote for him too. But anyway, let's go on to our next guest here. Well, how many of you saw last Monday on NBC their new show, the new competition music show, American Song Contest, hosted by Snoop Dogg and Kelly Clarkson? That's an interesting combo, but it works quite well. Anyway, the premiere show was last Monday. It was all live. Everything was all live. As I said, music competition show. So last Monday, they selected 11 acts from across the country. And what they do, if you didn't see it, they perform original songs and they are representing their state or territory, all 50 states, including DC and, you know, surrounding areas of America there. And so they're competing for a chance to win America's vote for the best hit song. And these are some talented people here. So last Monday, as I said, 11 talented songwriters and performers, they made the cut. So they're going to have round two this coming Monday night. Again, American Song Contest. So if you like shows such as The Voice and American Idol and those type of shows, this is the latest one from NBC. And it is a lot of fun, a lot of very talented people. So our next guest, she is one of the 11 contestants that's still in the running for round two. And again, you can see that on Monday night on NBC, American Song Contest. This young lady, her name is Kiane Starr, and she's a singer, she's a songwriter, and she's also a Grammy-nominated singer, composer, and producer. We saw her in action on the show. She was singing her red-hot single that she wrote herself, Fire, and it is hot. This young lady is, as we all saw, she's extremely talented, and she's representing her home state of Mississippi, and she's representing quite well. We are awaiting for her to give us a call. So while we are awaiting for her to call in, let's take a listen to a portion of her song, Fire, that she performed on the show last Monday night. So let's take a listen to Kiane Starr as she performs Fire. There is.
Okay, Kiane's on the line too.
Okay, good afternoon, Miss Kiane.
Hello, how are you? My apologies, but I'm tardy for this party.
Oh, that's okay. It was understandable. You are a busy young lady after the whole world saw you last in the rest of your contestant colleagues there in action on American Song Contest, the big premiere. So what has your week, just give us a little summary of what your week has been like since that big premiere.
Like you said, I've been pretty busy just trying to make sure that I, you know, showing gratitude to all the people who assisted me and just making sure that, you know, all of my needs and necessities and my essentials were taken care of while being on the show and, you know, just taking meetings and interviews, just talking about my experience and my expectations thus far.
Now, as we all saw, you and others made it past the first round, the qualifying round. Round two comes up this coming Monday. So, second qualifying round. Before we get to the rest of the questions, how can people continue to vote for you?
There were three ways to vote. It was on the NBC app, directly on NBC.com, and also TikTok was a platform that you're able to vote on as well. So those are the three voting methods. Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, it's possible to vote 10 times on each platform.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Yes, that'll rack up some votes quickly. Sure. Real
right,
fast.
Right.
Well, now, of course, everybody saw you in action of your sizzling hot song, Fire. No pun intended there. Well, tell us the backstory as to how you created this great song.
It's funny. I actually created Fire riding in the car a couple of years ago, 85 South, driving through Atlanta, Georgia. I grew up, I'm a preacher's kid, growing up in the church. My granddaddy used to sing a lot, and he sings, and he used to make reference to, you know, the Holy Spirit being like fire shut up in his bones, you know, per scripture. You know, he preached from that parable from that scripture a lot. So it really was just kind of a modernized version of what I grew up on. I just kind of added, you know, some rock and roll to it.
Oh yeah, you added oh my goodness, did you ever? Yes, will not be the same. I love the way you describe your singing style. Tell everybody your description of what your singing style is about.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
Sure. I love how you describe your singing style. So tell everybody your definition of your singing style.
I've quoted often doing this, you know, the filming of this that Aretha Franklin and Lenny Kravitz had a baby, it would have been me. That's the best way for me to explain my, you know, my sound and my dynamic. I definitely love pure tone and, you know, pure soul and just the melodic sound. However, you know, internally and externally, I'm a rock star, you know?
Yeah, you've got the goods for it, that's for sure. Well, so Keone, what came first for you? Was it songwriting or singing or a combination of both?
I think it was kind of a combination of both. I grew up in the church, like I said, in my family. I come from a background of musicians and singers, so singing kind of came natural. My writing was kind of something that I would say music chose me. I chose writing. Writing was more so therapeutic to me. So I started out as a poet, actually, before I knew that I was writing song ballads.
Okay. So, yeah, they kind of went hand in hand there. Tell us about you've got a lot of accomplishments before appearing on American Song Contest. So just give us some information about the working with Mark Ronson. Just give us all of that.
I was signed to, you know, a production contract with Mark Ronson and Jeff Basker for about 5 years or so. With that opportunity, I had the privilege of touring with Mark, you know, to overseas to, you know, London, Spain, Australia, Germany, you know, several places. Just hitting stages such as Glastonbury and Splendid in the Grass festivals, etc., and Candyman Show and British Broadcasting Radio. So, yes, you know, I have had the opportunity and the privilege, you know, God's gracious. It just allowed me to do a lot of things and, you know, be a part of a lot of stages and open up for a lot of well-known names. With that, like I said, it's just been kind of adding to, you know, my experiences of music, like I've been singing my entire life. So I guess it's just more so the platform and the venue is changing, you know?
Well, tell us about your connection and meeting up with Bruno Mars.
I met Mark while being in my local hometown. I'm originally from Jackson, Clinton, Mississippi, and I was actually singing like on the campus of Jackson State University, which is a well-known HBCU in Mississippi. So I was singing on the college campus. They were coming through the South. I Can't Lose is a song that I'm featured on. It was already a song that was kind of pre-written
And so they were looking for a particular voice, a particular song. And so they were coming through the South looking for that particular voice. And it was there in Mississippi on Jackson State campus where they found me. They asked for us to sing two particular songs. They wanted us to sing like a radio song, a mainstream song. And they also wanted us to sing a gospel song. And I chose to sing Anita Baker's Sweet Love. And I also sang the gospel hymn To God Be the Glory.
I can only imagine.
They asked me to come to Memphis soon after that, where I recorded I Can't Lose in Royal Studios, located in Memphis, Tennessee. And, yeah, it was kind of history from there on.
Well, I know you nailed the coffin on both those songs with that powerful voice of yours, obviously, for sure.
Thank you.
Well, finally, tell us, what was your journey of getting on American Song Contest show?
In getting on American Song Contest, they reached out to me. I was reached out to by a guy named Sean Marshall. I believe that he worked pretty closely with them, scouting out talent, et cetera. So I know that in the process, trying to find a representative of Mississippi, I was told that my name came up often. So once they reached out to me, they just, really just asked me, was I available and was I interested in the opportunity? And if I had any music that I need, that I wanted to put out or debut or a single that I felt like was strong enough to stand in the competition. And here we got Fire.
Now, the song Fire, can people purchase it yet, or what is that all about?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, okay. Ma'am. It's available on all streaming, MCZ, Pandora, YouTube, Apple Music, Tidal, all the goods. Fire is available.
It's available. And people can vote for you up to 10 times, all the different outlets that you mentioned earlier. And so we're going to look forward to seeing you and the rest of the contestants in action Monday night. It sounds like you're on the road there. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. I will be there Monday night. So you'll see me on the screen smiling. And great expectation of some good news.
Well, hey, we're going to do our part and put those votes in for you. How about that?
I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were worth the wait. We didn't have to wait that long. You were worth it. You're always worth it.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you so much for your patience.
Okay, Miss Keone, we'll see you Monday night on NBC's American Song Contest.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much, Keone Starr. Again, she is representing her state, her home state of Mississippi, on NBC's new show, American Song Contest. And man, can she sing. But anyway, make sure you vote for her. She shared how you can vote. All of us can vote three different ways, and you can vote up to 10 times. So find her information and vote for our girl there. So we are so out of time. I want to thank all of our guests for being with us on this edition of Film Festival Radio Show. Tune into the Oscars tomorrow night. Hopefully your favorite film or actor or actress will win. And if not, well, they're still going to be rich and famous. So anyway, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next Saturday at the same time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.